Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah.
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. I hope you had a blessed and safe weekend. And as we move forward, we want to continue to pray for those our recent victims of catastrophe from Hurricane Ida in the Gulf Coast, particularly in Louisiana. We want to extend our prayers and love. And if there's anybody that has any updated information, that has family and friends here, you know, let us know. Keep us posted so we can share with everybody. Also, still keeping in prayer the people in Haiti and in Afghanistan. And with that being said, we want to talk a little bit and get some expert insight on Afghanistan from Professor Harvey Wolf Kushner, who rejoins us again. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you.
How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine. Unfortunately, we always, meet on these occasions, especially now where, you just said, our prayers go out to those certainly in New Orleans and down south and, Afghanistan and other points, Haiti as well.
So catch us up a little bit on what's going on in Afghanistan, and then I actually – with, like, I guess you could say, a glossary of terms in terms of who the players are and what the issues are, because we have the Taliban that we're concerned about. We have the ISIS-K, which is the new term for me. And so I kind of want to get a breakdown in terms of who is who and who we need to be concerned, who's on the list, I guess, the top of the list of who to be concerned about and how we navigate through this. And you know there's other things I want to ask you as well, so I'll just let you go ahead and take the reins.
Okay, look, we're coming up on an anniversary, the 20th anniversary of 9/11. And
yes.
It was 9/11 that brought us to Afghanistan. We wouldn't have been involved in that region of the world had it not been for 9/11. Let me give you a little background about that, because it's very important, the events of the last 2 weeks and why we were involved there in the first place and, the mistakes that we made and what it means for our future. So there's really a lot to cover. But let me start by saying this. Afghanistan has been a region of the world that has always, been a distant place, especially for those of us in the West. When I was a young man, so to speak, you used the term Afghanistan. If you were having a conversation with someone and all of a sudden you changed the topic, just went completely beyond what you were talking about, someone would say to you, "Where'd you go to Afghanistan?" Because Afghanistan was this faraway place that, no one knew about. And it's always had a history of being a place where you didn't want to get involved. Whether it was Alexander the Great or any others who got involved there, certainly, it didn't wind up good. And when we got involved in Afghanistan in 2001, we got involved really to protect the home front, because we knew that the 9/11 attacks were engineered by al-Qaeda, who had a base in Afghanistan, and the Taliban, who was a religious group within Afghanistan, who started, I would say, 5-6 years prior to 9/11, to control the country and allow terrorists to gather there, such as Al-Qaeda. Well, we got involved there to make the home front safe. But then somehow when we got involved with George Bush, George W. Bush, the mission at that time was to protect the home front. But then somehow we got in, you know, nation building. We you know, going to change the whole fabric of Afghanistan and make it into sort of a democracy, sort of, you know, like ours. And therein lied the mistake. The mission in the beginning should have always been get involved to protect the home front here, and another terrorist event like 9/11 shouldn't happen. But again, we got involved there. And then we were involved for how long? For almost 20 years underneath four presidents, underneath Bush, certainly got us involved there, Obama, and then Trump, and then Biden. So, you know, each one of them had a different way of treating what Afghanistan was. But the problem we have now, and let me just ratchet up to current, is we began a pullout underneath the Biden presidency. Now, the pullout is the problem, because if you look at the polling that, you know, takes place in this country, you know, you hear that, what is it, 75, almost 80% of Americans don't want us there? That is true. But at the same time, if you poll Americans, about 75-80% felt we should still have a small presence there, small number of troops, maybe 1,500, 2,000 troops, as we've been having the last year or so. And we would remain there to have a base in that region of the world, which is very crucial for us, for our national intelligence and for us security. And therein lied the problem. You know, it wasn't getting out that was the problem in 2021. It was how we got out. And we could talk about that. So, you know, from the beginning, I think the mission was clear, to protect the home front and never allow another 9/11 to happen. But somehow the mission got changed underneath the Bush administration to nation building. And therein lied the mistake. So that is like a primer of really a synopsis of what the issue is. Now we could pick apart various different pieces about that. You know, are we less safe today than we were before 9/11? We could discuss that. But I think you must understand that the mission in the beginning was to go in, stop the terrorists from launching another attack against the United States. But that got somehow changed around, and we were in there to change Afghanistan into a Western democracy, which couldn't happen.
Okay. So I would like to run my theory by you, and because I've gotten a variety of feedback. And so I'm going to run this by you, the person that has the insight, and you can tell me where my theory is flawed and where it may have some merit. So I think some of the problem that we are having or have had with our entry into Afghanistan is we have had this, I always say the Mighty Mouse syndrome, as the United States, here we come to save the day type of mindset, okay? And we went in there with that, which is fine. I don't mind that so much. But in terms of the methodology, in terms of how to save the day, I've had this discussion with my husband. We decided to go train people in terms of how to shoot a weapon. My thing is, you can teach somebody how to shoot a weapon, and they may shoot a weapon great, but you have to really get them behind the mindset in terms of why you need to shoot this weapon. Like, for example, you know, he says, we need a gun. I'm a little bit apprehensive. There's still a part of me that, you know, every time I think about getting a gun and everything, I think about the thou shalt not kill portion of the commandments. So for me, I think getting a gun is not a good thing, because I think if I ever had to use it, there's going to be a moment of hesitation. And it's not going to, even though I may be good at it, it's, you know, it may just be not the thing that I should be doing in terms of protecting my home or protecting the people that I love. Maybe I'm good in some other area. So I'm thinking that we taught maybe some people how to use the gun, and they may be great at it and everything, but why they should use the gun and the impetus behind being able to stand firm and make the sacrifice of life for a cause, that had to be indoctrinated just as much as the mechanics behind using the gun. You understand what I'm saying?
Look, I 100%, and we were in total agreement. Because let me bring it to what I was saying before. Our mission was to get in there and not allow another 9/11 to happen. In other words, protect our end here, the United States, and not to have some terrorist organization launch an attack against the home front. Okay? But then we got into, as I said, a nation building. And that's exactly what you're saying. Yes, you know, in every aspect. Let's take, for example, our training of the Afghan military. Yes, your example is 100% right. We could train them how to shoot a gun, but behind that, you know, the reason as to why you're defending your land, why they didn't have that, because it was built on a structure not like ours. Because, you know, Jeffersonian democracy, so to speak, I'm using a term, you know, applies here in the United States. It didn't apply to an area which was totally different, you know, was feudal, tribal leaders, the culture was different, the whole. So you're right on target. We're in total agreement on what you're saying. And that is the mistake. You know, we cannot export our way of thinking to other cultures that might not be able to adapt to it. And therein lied the problem. That you're exactly right. You couldn't be more right than what you're saying. I'm in total agreement with you. And I think most people...
So in 20 years, yeah. There was no way for us to adapt that mindset?
That's another question.
My other thing is teaching them how to be self-sufficient. In terms of constantly supplying the guns, teach them how to build the guns themselves. Teach them how to build a gun factory themselves.
Yes. You're so right about this. This is why we really need to have a commission to take a look at this, because this is not a Republican or Democrat issue. This is across the board. The four last administrations are all to blame. They all have their hands in it. It's politicians in general who are involved in this. We got to ask ourselves, how did our policy become such that we're able to – look, the American people need answers to this. When you think in terms of – and this is hard to say – the blood and treasure that was spent there, you know, our taxpayers' dollars. Think about this. I mean, I don't want to sound radical about it, but think about – look at the weaponry we left there. The tens of thousands of small armaments, they have more Apache helicopters than 80% of other air forces in the world. All of these armored-plated vehicles, the billions of dollars of ordnance that we left there. I mean, this is taxpayers' dollars. It's your dollars. It's my dollars. This could have been used here in the United States, the people who go to bed hungry in the night, right? I mean, think about that. We're talking about infrastructure, right? A bill of infrastructure, $3 trillion infrastructure, and people are upset about that. Who's going to pay for it? Well, ask yourself this. Look at the amount of money we spent there, the treasure that was spent on that. And that's an important question, because you raised the crucial point of it. That is the crucial point of it. You know, you had all of this. You know, infrastructure, which is being held, but the basic core principles of why the Afghans were defending their land, that didn't change, because it was based upon a culture which was different than ours. Now, I'm not saying which is better, but I'm saying the model that we used here certainly didn't work there. And I think that's the most important question that needs to be addressed. I mean, we could get into discussing a lot of, you know, certain decisions that were made. For example, why did we close down Bagram Air Force Base and you know, where we could have gotten more people out? Why didn't we start moving people out before? Why do we give a time frame? All of these questions. But I think you raised the most fundamental and more important question, is for the 20 years, what were we doing here and selling it to the general public? And I hate to say this, but a lot of people made a lot of money off of that. I mean, think about that. Think about the money that went into supplying that war effort. And I think this is a lesson which we haven't gotten into. The fact is, are we safer now than we were before 9/11? And I think we're in a worse position because the failures we did there, you know, and we haven't even began to discuss that. But I think, you know, you raised the most important issue. How did we think that we would be able to be successful there if we were building an infrastructure on a structure that was unsimilar to ours?
Mm-hmm.
Very important question that needs to be addressed. And I think we need an investigation of that. We have to take a look at how we were able to do this for 20 years. And you know what? I think the way we were able to do it for 20 years, a lot of other issues happened over the last 20 years where our focus of attention was off of it. You know, the media wasn't focused in on it. Because when you think about it, you know, 20 years, we lost such blood and the treasure. But, you know, different things occurred. Certainly when COVID came about, this was put on the back burner. During other times when there was elections here and other cases that we had here, Americans didn't focus in on it. But if you take a hard look at what you're asking, that, I think, is the crucial question that needs to be addressed and resolved, because that is a fascinating thing that we need to discuss.
We are going to take a quick clear here with Professor Harvey Kushner talking about Afghanistan, and he's got the insight that we need. And if you have questions, it's a good time to ask them. The number is 516-387-1944. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
Having a wedding, reception, family reunion, planning a banquet, or some other fundraising event. Need to share your knowledge through a workshop or seminar. Or it's a difficult time and you need to plan a wake or repast. Let us help. At our gatherings, let us reduce the stress and make the occasion memorable, treasured. Call our gatherings at 407-968-9387 or email ourgatherings@yahoo.com. Let us help plan your special event.
This is Douglas Dobbs of Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community for 29 years with quality funeral and cremation services. Honoring all religions and faiths, we have been here for many grieving families. Whether it's a complete funeral service with a burial or a simple, dignified cremation, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here for you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs. Dedicated to serving our families.
Good morning. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. We are here with Professor Dr. Harvey Wolf Kushner, and we're talking about Afghanistan. And if you have questions like I do, this is the perfect time to ask. The number is 516-387-1944. So, all right. No one wants to see anyone left behind in Afghanistan. And we're coming up on this deadline. I mean, is that going to, in your eyes, is that going to be a firm cutoff? Are there not going to be any efforts, even discreet, unofficial ones, to get some of these people out?
Well, that's an interesting question. I mean, it seems that August 31st was the deadline set by the Biden administration, and it seems they're going to hold to that. That, I think, is disastrous, because I don't think we're going to be able to get every American citizen out by that date, and certainly we don't even have a firm number of how many are left. This is a total nightmare in terms of getting our people out. Look, you know, I'm not against refugees, but we put ourselves in a very awkward position now. We have tens of thousands of Afghanis in which we don't have knowledge of, you know, who they are. I would be more concerned about getting them. Look, this was a failed. I've never seen anything like this in my lifetime. But before I address that, let me just say something. Back in 2001, when we were attacked, I was on Bill O'Reilly, who was on Fox News. He had a show called The Factor. And I was on that show a week after 9/11, and it was reprinted in the New York Times. He asked me what we should do about Afghanistan. And I said, we shouldn't get involved with a land war. We should get involved in with special operations going in and out and, be, you know, take out who was at fault, but you don't want to get involved there. And you know, so right from the beginning, I knew this was wrong. And I still, you know, sitting here talking to you, I still can't believe that we went into an area of the world where we didn't have an exit plan. We had no exit plan. And quite frankly, this bears it out. Look how we got out this time. I mean, this is, you ask any military leader, they would tell you, and our allies. I mean, you think in what we did in terms of our allies trusting us, the Taiwanese, who are concerned about mainland China, they've got to sit back now and say, where will we be? Ukraine. You know, we're thinking, where will we be? The Israelis, even the any one of our allies has to wonder, how will America act given a situation like this? This was very bad for us in terms of sending a message to our enemies. This shows that, you know, we just picked up, you know, and left. I mean, I cannot see any positivity out of this. I it's amazing. And look, I don't want to sound cool about this and that I'm out to get the president, but I was watching yesterday the events when they were bringing back the 13 soldiers, male and female soldiers that lost their lives. And right. It's all over the internet today. You saw the president looking at his watch. He's been condemned for that. I mean, you know, the optics of that. And when you think about the optics about our withdrawing from Afghanistan, I mean, you know, it's we live in a world which is optics. It's pictures. It's impressions. And this leaves a very bad impression to our allies, and it also, quite frankly, emboldens our enemies, such as ISIS-K and such as the Taliban. We could get into, you know, I remember you asking in the beginning, who are these groups, and we could talk about that. But the optics of the way we removed ourselves from that region, I mean, it's just, it's mind-boggling to me that our intelligence agencies, our military, would have advised to withdraw in the manner in which we did.
Let me ask you, do you think the current administration was under pressure by what the previous administration may have declared
I don't think so, and I'll tell you why I don't think that's the case. Certainly in the military sphere wouldn't be, but if you look at a lot of the other things that the current administration reversed of the last administration, the policy at our border, you know, whether it's climate change or whether it's discussions with Iran, they immediately reversed all of these things. So I don't know why they, you know, couldn't have reversed this if they thought that it was wrong. And quite frankly, I'm not a fan of the last administration, but I don't believe that the deal that was made was based upon what happened. I think if the Taliban did anything to the contrary, which wasn't in the deal, I think the deal would have been off. And I think that would have been the case. So I do think this is a mistake that this current administration is going to live to regret. And I think a lot of it is going to impact on the upcoming elections for the House and the Senate. I think, look, therein I think lies a problem. I think a lot of the issues that we talk about, but especially when you call me and we speak about national security, I think a lot of them have political consequences. And I think it's unfortunate that politics sort of enters into the decision-making process. And I think to some extent, the move out of Afghanistan was, based upon a political decision that was made. And I think it was, unfortunately, the wrong political decision.
And that is unfortunate.
And I think if
you're
look
saying,
at, let me say this about President Biden. If you look at his history in foreign policy and a lot of decisions in different regions of the world, he was always a contrarian on a lot of things. I remember when President Obama ordered the killing of Osama bin Laden, he was against that. He was the only one who didn't favor that decision, and I think that was the right decision to make at the time. So, when it comes to foreign policy, I don't think he's made a correct decision. And certainly I think this decision here puts us more at risk than we were before 9/11. And we could talk about that because I think that's important for the American public to understand how we're in jeopardy now because of not being in that region of the world and having a presence there for intelligence gathering and for also our ability to strike at our enemies.
I heard one person, actually it was someone who is one of the, I would say, talking heads on the television that said something about, we should, should go ahead and pull out and just let China have it. I was floored. I was shocked. I couldn't believe that someone actually verbalized that and meant it. I mean, and I'm hoping that maybe they, that it was not meant, but it's even as an off-the-cuff statement, I don't think that's a good thing. Why would we want to leave a vulnerable country in the hands of someone that we have a questionable relationship with anyway?
Well, that's true. And look, China is the big winner with this, and so is Russian Federation. When you think about it, China is going to have our weaponry. I mean, to be able to copy it. All of, first of all, a lot of the weapons that were captured there, certainly whether it's night vision or whether it's different electronics that go into our drones that they have, or whether it's our Apache helicopters, that's all going to be shipped off and taken as we speak probably. Already it's in the hands of the Pakistanis. That's all going to be sold to China, and China's going to reverse engineer it. And they're very good at that. Reverse engineering is they have an electronic piece, they take it apart, and then they could recopy it and rebuild it, just as they do in terms of the technology. And look at China in terms of its strength, its military strength. Their navy is much larger than ours is now. So everything that's been captured is going to go into the hands in China. And don't forget, China is right in that region. They're right next to Afghanistan. And so is Pakistan. And we didn't even discuss that. I mean, Pakistan is a big player in all of this. You wouldn't have the Taliban grow if it wasn't for Pakistan. And that's a scary scenario because Pakistan has nuclear weapons. So that's another issue. But what you're saying is outrageous. But the Chinese are empowered by this, certainly. And this sends a message to, the Taiwanese. And that's a concern of mine. Look at what's going to happen now with Taiwan in terms of China. They're going to be certainly much more threatening because of that. This was a very – I mean, there's so many things here to think about and to mull over. I mean, the fact that it's going to now take us hours to launch an attack in that region if we have to go in there and do it. Because, our closest base is nowhere near there. We're far away from that area. And not only are we far away to launch a military strike, but also what about gathering intelligence? That's very important. I mean, right now, we supposedly, we struck out ISIS-K, one of their leaders or one of their organizers. We took them out with a drone the other day, and we had some other attacks. We stopped some missiles to come in. But that is now. This is August of 2021. What about 3 months down the road, 4 months down the road, when we lose, you know, our ability to have our assets there, you know, once we pull out completely? This was disastrous for us, really disastrous. And you know, a bit of history. If you go back to 1979, when the Soviet Union invaded Afghanistan, if you go back to that era, you got to ask yourself, why did they invade Afghanistan? I mean, why did they go into that area at that time? Well, you know, they went into that area because in 1979 you had the Iranian Revolution, right? And which you had then an Islamic Republic set up in Iran, the Shia Republic of Iran. And the Soviets went into Afghanistan fearing the Taliban and fearing a religious state being put in. They went in there to try to prop up a sectarian government because they understood that they would have issues in the areas of the Islamic areas that they controlled. And we went in there to destroy the Russians. We supported the Mujahideen, if you recall, the fighters that came from all over the world, including the United States, that gathered in Afghanistan to fight the Soviets because we had an allegiance with them because the enemy of my enemy was my friend. So we supplied them with Stinger missiles. We supplied them with all sorts of weaponry, and we helped build up Osama bin Laden to fight the Soviets because we wanted to defeat. And in fact, it was the downfall of the Soviets. But look at the blowback from that to us and the lessons learned. And then we got involved in there for a 20-year war, and we wound up the same way as the Soviets did. Thank God we didn't crumble like the Soviet Union did after the Afghan war. But this is a nightmare for us. And those of us who follow this and understand what happened, this sets us back. It puts us back now, you know, because the Taliban can't be trusted. Mm. The Taliban is not our friend, you know. And what they're doing now is they're saying one thing, but, you know, look what's going to happen. That country's going to revert back to, look at all the rights of females in that region of the world. Look what's going to happen to that. I mean, you know. And then, you know, you asked me about ISIS-K. Well, ISIS-K broke off from the Taliban because they thought the Taliban wasn't strict enough, was violating the true principles of Islam. So you know, this is not good. This is not good for that region. This is not good for women's rights. This is not good for freedom in that area. And all of that said, it's not good for the security of the United States because it's going to be a base for all terrorist organizations to gather and to plot against the United States, her allies, and the Western world in general. Sad day.
Okay. And I've got so much more to ask, but we're going to take a quick break. We are here with Dr. Harvey Wolf Kushner of Long Island University. If you have questions, the number is 516-387-1944. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
Hi, I'm Tim Garrison. You may know me as Timmy G. Yeah, I know. It's been 2 decades, but I want you to know I'm back in the art with you. And I've got a mix of music that can help you relax and chill out. It's smooth, it's relaxing, it's chill out jazz. The soulful mix of smooth jazz, soul, and smooth R&B. So join me every Wednesday night, 10 p.m. to midnight, on KHAM Radio.
Chill out jazz. are you chilling?
Good afternoon, and welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. Before we go forward, we want to keep in prayer the victims of Hurricane Ida, and especially in the Louisiana area, but all those that have been affected in some way. Hopefully, I did hear, unfortunately, that there was one person that succumbed, was fatality. I'm hoping and praying that there aren't going to be any others. If you have any insight, any people that you know of that want to share their insight this week, please don't hesitate to give us a call. We also want to still keep in mind the victims in Haiti and as well as those in Afghanistan for which we're talking about today with Dr. Harvey Wolf Kushner. And so we are rescuing our American citizens or attempting to as much as we can prior to the deadline. There have been, to put it lightly, I guess some missteps, but also too, we are bringing over people that we've allied ourselves with, that interpreters and the like, who are from Afghanistan. And I hate to be negative, but my question to you is, as we approach the 9/11 anniversary, my question to you is, are we running the risk of bringing over people that will turn on us and cause a repeat of 9/11?
Well, you know, I hate to say it, but there is that, definitely is that possibility when you think about it. You know, in terms of the thousands that we bring here, all it takes is one or two. And therein lies the problem. You know, most of the attacks that we've seen here are these what they call lone wolves attack, right? These individuals that, step up to the plate. We've seen that in Florida. We've seen that in California. We've seen that all over, in New York. So the answer to your question is, yeah, that's absolutely correct. It's amazing that we didn't think about this to begin with. Over the 20 years, we certainly had ample time to work out some type of a situation in which we would be sure. Certainly these interpreters, as you said, others that work with us, we owe something to them. But then again, we owe something to our American citizens who are here and for their protection. And it does cause a nightmare scenario for us in terms of how do you trace, the political baggage that someone brings over. But, when you think about it, the problem is not just Afghanistan. When you think of all the areas in the world, especially in the Islamic world that we've been engaged in the Middle East, whether it's Libya, whether it's Yemen, whether it's Iraq, it's Iran, whether it's Afghanistan, in terms of, the hatred that's out there for us and the fact the easy entry into the United States, whether it's through the airlift from Afghanistan or whether it's through our southern border, we do have a major issue of these lone wolf individuals who become radicalized before they came here or when they're here. That's going to be an issue, and especially coming up on the 9/11 anniversary, it's quite disturbing. So, needless to say, there's enough to worry about in the years to come about who we let into the country. And it's not just it's not just foreign-born; it's also domestic as well. People become radicalized here for all different reasons, but that's a worry to me. But what's more worry is the fact that you now have an area of the world where it could be a hotbed for a variety of different terror organizations to gather and to plot. And if you think of in 1979 when our embassy was taken over in Iran and we had hostages, think of the potential number of hostages that will remain in Afghanistan, the ones that we don't get out, because, administration hasn't been forthcoming in telling us the exact numbers of Americans that are still being left there. You know, we heard stories about them saying, you don't come to the airport because it's dangerous. But I can imagine, you know, it's a significant number who are left there. And the Taliban, is, you know, has information on these individuals. They have information. We left over a treasure trove for them of information who work with us, who are our interpreters. You hear reports of them going house to house, trying looking for people. This is a nightmare scenario for us. I hope I'm wrong, but it doesn't bode well for the foreseeable future in that region of the world.
So how do you think, if the previous administration had still been in office, how do you think this would have worked differently? Or do you think it would have worked differently?
Well, I don't know. I can't get in mind. But based upon what was said, I think deals would have been off. I don't know if they would have totally pulled out of Bagram Air Force Base. I don't know if mm-hmm. they would have closed that down completely. I do know, and I don't want to get in trouble for this, but given the personality of the past president as compared to this president, I think he would have taken things more personally and might have said deals off because of his nature. But certainly I think the deal that they said that they made was based on certain contingencies. You know, they had to meet certain goals, the Taliban, and if they hadn't, the deal was off. And I do think they probably would have stuck to that more so than the current administration has. I think certainly I would hope that if Biden could have walked this back and changed this, I think he would have done that. I can't believe he still would stick to what happened the way they did it and pulling out the way they did.
So do you think that is there going to be, I guess, a watch list? Will all of the Afghan people that we bring over here, will all of them be watched, or will there be a certain amount that will be, or certain ones that will be identified to watch? How do we deal with this?
That's a big issue. Well, first of all, if you think of all the ones that have been taken out, they say almost 100,000. They're not all here in the United States. They've
right.
been sent to other countries, whether it's Italy, whether it's Qatar, and other areas. They're all over the world. So we have to deal with that. Then there is a process by which I guess we would bring people here and place them. I don't know the coordination for that. Has it taking place in certain states? Which states are going to have the most? Are they going to be in states where they're military bases? Are they going to, you know, there's all sorts of controversies about where these people will go, where they would wind up.
Right.
This is not good. I mean, you know, when you think about the, you know, if you place that in the issue of what's happening in the southern border and people coming in, and then you think in terms of the issues that were discussed in the media about that and COVID and here in COVID. I mean, this is, it's a sad day for this country. You know, I hate to say this, but I only wish we would spend the treasure on American citizens who are here. You know what I'm
uh-huh.
saying?
Yeah.
And I just, you know what I mean. You know, we always talk about if we weren't there, we would be spent. I don't know if it gets translated by that. You know what I'm saying? That's something that we really need to discuss. Because it's monumental what we spend. I mean, if you think in terms of the amounts of money that was spent, it's mind-boggling. And you know, will that ever get spent here? But, you know, you raise a question. I don't know. I don't know the infrastructure that's in place to vet, you know, and to follow through.
Then again,
you know, there's certain problems with that I have in terms of our freedoms that you have. I mean, when you bring people here, you know, how you treat them as second-class citizens. I mean, you monitor their every movement. I mean, these are questions we should ask before we get ourselves into this situation. But certainly we're in a situation now that is going to haunt us, whether it's the issue that you raised of the people that we bring here, or what about the issues that are going to occur in the regions of the world, and then how is this going to spread out? I mean, how are our allies going to view this? I mean, certainly, I don't think in a very positive way at all.
Mm-hmm.
And especially the issue you raised about China, I think that is a very serious issue that I think needs to be addressed, you know, in terms of China's, explosion onto the world scene, from a country that was insulated to a country that's expanding. They're expanding their military. Certainly they're expanding their economic reach, you know. And this is dangerous. We're in some tough times now, aren't we not?
Unfortunately, yes, we are. But before we go on to some of that, I do want to take a quick break. And we talked to you alluded a little bit to some homegrown stuff. We want to talk a little bit about that when we come back. We are here with Professor Dr. Harvey Wolf Kushner of Long Island University. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. If you have questions, the number is 516-387-1944, and we will be right back.
Swiffer Sweeper cleans so completely, you'll never go back to your old broom again.
Now it's on for Mary from a Mr. Broom.
Sweepers redesigned to clean corners, and it traps and locks 50% more dirt, dust, and hair than a broom. So go all the way clean. New Swiffer. Clean better or your money back. Guaranteed.
This is Douglas Dobbs, owner and funeral director at Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community with two generations of family funeral service. With the recent addition of my son Brandon, we are here to take care of the needs of Central and West Orlando. From simple cremation to a full burial, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here to help you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs, dedicated to serving our families.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. Tomorrow we will be talking with a representative from the Central Florida Urban League to get an update on some things going on with them. We also still want to keep the people of the Gulf Coast, particularly Louisiana, in our prayers as they try to start recovering from Hurricane Ida as much as possible. Also, our brothers and sisters in Haiti and Afghanistan, and particularly, the women of Afghanistan. But I want to also talk a little bit about something that between COVID and all the other stuff that's been going on, it's maybe been a little bit overshadowed, and that's the Capitol riot and what's going on with the proceedings with that.
Well, you know, that is something that, needs to be discussed. And I think it's something that, is a very dark day in, our history. I mean, if you look at, what happened on that day, I mean, you got to get to the point of why did it happen? How did it happen? And can it happen again? And I think we need really to have a commission really which is removed from the politics of a commission, you know? And I don't think that's happening. And I think you cannot look at that from a political perspective. I think it needs? You would recall, I would think, that back in the 60s, I don't want to date myself or date you at all, and I think, you're much younger than me, but we had a Kerner Commission, Are you familiar with the current commission? Yeah. The Kerner Commission was formed back under Johnson. Remember that commission to see what was happening in America, because America was going through turmoil back in the 60s, right? We had riots. We had racial strife. We had the Vietnam War was coming to head. We had drugs introduced into society. And the Kerner Commission was Otto Kerner, former governor, headed the commission. He had academics. He had some politicians. He had business people. He had people of all different stripes. And they issued a report. And the report was very telling. It changed the fabric of this country. It said that America was developing two separate and unequal societies, right? And we didn't change. We didn't put things into effect. We would go down a different path. And I think we need that kind of commission now. You know what I'm saying? I think we need a January 6th commission to take a look at that. And, you know, I think what happens now is the commissions that are formed in Washington to study the process are politically based, you know? And I think it's tainted with that. So I don't know if you could find you know, totally objective people to take a look at the situation. But I think in order to really understand what happened, you need that type of analysis to take place. And that's not happening, is it? I don't think it is. And I think, you know, you have to separate out, your political beliefs in looking at what happened on that day. Maybe I'm setting a standard that's never going to happen, because you're never going to get people that are totally removed, you know what I mean, from the situation. But I think that, and I think it's I have my theories about what happened on that day, I think it was highly charged. I think our nation is split apart. Yeah. I really do. I think anybody who tells you that it's not doesn't know what they're talking about. And I think that plays itself out almost into everything. You know, almost into you know how I could explain it the best way. It's now with COVID. It's COVID, and what's happening with the masks in school and about people getting inoculated. You know. When you think about it, when you look at, and I'm an educator, if you look at universities, you look at schools, you know, kids couldn't go to school now today unless they had, you know, rubella, measles shot, unless they had polio, or unless they had,
right?
There's a whole bunch of things. But now when it comes to the COVID, it's so politically charged. I've never seen it like this, you know? And I think that's entered into it. We look at science, it's become or polarized, you know, science. You know what I'm saying? And I think, I don't know how we get around that, but I think some sense has to be made out of this, because I think most analysts, and it's the same thing. Look, if you look at the media, you turn on CNN, MSNBC, and Fox, you get a totally different perspective.
Right.
And I think we've lost it. You know, I'm not saying it was better, but back in the day when I picked up a newspaper, I opened up the newspaper. I knew where certain things were. Look, I knew in the front page in the beginning of the newspaper, it was the news. Now, of course, there might have been bias in that, right? I mean, nothing is completely objective. But at least you knew that in the front. And then in the back of the paper was the sports page. And then somewhere in the middle was the editorial. So you knew when you open up to the editorial page, it was an opinion. But I challenge you to turn on CNN, MSNBC, and Fox, and not to see just opinions.
Right.
And I think...
Because it's really a shame because, like you said, science used to be one of those things where, you know, it was based on just the facts, and there was really no interpretation. It was what it was. You know, now there's, a spin on whatever comes out of the scientific community now, and that's not what it's meant for.
It's meant for uncovering research and uncovering facts and how to best apply them to everyone. Like you were saying, in terms of, I mean, we have now shots and things that are supposed to happen before kids go back to school. The COVID vaccine, once we get it ready for kids, should be just one of those things like everything else. When you have to travel, you have to take certain shots, you know, depending on where you're going in order to protect yourself. It should be the same with the COVID vaccine. It's not political. It's a matter of this is what you need to protect yourself and to protect other people. And that's the thing that really has gotten, and I know we're getting off subject a little bit, but that's the thing that's really gotten to me is about, you know, where has our concern gone for protecting other people, you know?
You're exactly right. And it's not getting off the subject in the sense, when you look at Afghanistan and you look at that, we need to have sit back and have some kind of analysis that is not politically charged. And you know, this is, I think, the big question. Look, it's the same thing when you're talking. Look, even when you're talking about terrorism, there's always, you know, I tell class sometimes, you know, one man's terrorist is not a man's freedom fighter. You know, you look at it that way, and you know, which came first, the chicken or the egg? You know, you could argue both ways. So, you know, I think, you know, the chicken came first, and then you go from there. But getting back to the original thing, the question you asked about the January 6th, I think we have to step back and tone down the atmosphere a bit and take a deep look at it because, you know, something terrible happened on that day, and how did we get to that particular stage, and what does that mean? What does that mean for the future of our country? And I've always believed this, that potential, what you saw on that day, always existed here. Always existed. It gets tamped down when people move their thoughts to the middle and not to the extreme. But we've been moving to the extreme. And I've seen this in the world as well, because it's not just in the United States. If you look at other countries in the world, you will see that there are extreme movements here, whether it's in France, whether it's in Hungary, whether it's in Poland, whether it's in, you know, England. It's all over. I think we have to move towards the center. We have to move towards the center. That's our salvation. Because, you know, I always use this example. If looks could kill, there'd be a lot of dead people. And you know, when people are riding in their automobile and they get cut off, some people will just do nothing. Some people will curse and do nothing. Some people will chase the person. Some people will pull out a gun and shoot. But the average person won't do that, hopefully.
Hopefully.
You know, they're right? They're controlled. Sure. They're sanctioned in a sense. But I think what we've done is we've allowed ourselves on January 6th to move more people, not just to curse and do nothing, but to actually become aggressive. You know what I'm saying? Because some of the rhetoric that we see in the media and other places have caused some of that, you know? Because I don't think you're ever going to be able to have a society where everybody's going to think exactly alike and everybody. But I think we have to have law. We have to feel that we come together as a people and live civilly. Otherwise, we'll go back to a state of nature. And I think that's what happened on that day. We went back to a state of nature.
Professor Kushner, thank you so much. Wish we had more time, but we've got to run.
Always,
but thanks
always,
for
always
taking the time.
God bless.
Have a wonderful day. And thank you all for listening. Talk with you tomorrow. This has been G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Be well, be safe, be blessed, and please remember, all real power comes from God. Take care.
make it all right.